How are music therapists changing the lives of people in Canada?
What is the latest research and trends?
You are tuned into the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast,
and we will explore these questions with our guest today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adrian and Kathy. We have four guests we are featuring on this episode: Chrissy, Hannah, Quentin, and Aprajita from the Canadian Music Therapy Fund. On this episode, we'll get a greater understanding of the mandates of the fund, along with opportunities for scholarships, grants, and music therapy advocacy.
And here's a little more about our four guests today. Chrissy Pearson is a certified music therapist, registered psychotherapist, and fellow of the Association for Music and Imagery. She has worked in various settings, including long-term care, palliative care, acute care, group homes, and inpatient and community mental health. She currently works in Toronto at Baycrest Centre, is the executive director of the Canadian Music Therapy Fund, and runs a small private practice offering GIM and supervision. Chrissy recently published a paper exploring the experiences of older adults who are aging at home with online music therapy sessions, advocating for music therapy and providing presentations and consultations about the benefits of music therapy is an important part of her work. Hannah Yu is a certified music therapist. She completed her Master of Music Therapy from Wilfrid Laurier University in 2009. Her current position at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto has afforded her the opportunity to provide music therapy services in the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, Cardiac Critical Care Unit, Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, Cardiology, and she works closely with the Pediatric Advanced Care Team, PACT. She has completed a specialized NICU music therapy training at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in New York. Hannah is a board member of the Canadian Music Therapy Fund since 2019, and she's the incoming vice chair. She leads the disbursements committee and is passionate about creating continued opportunities for grants and scholarships for music therapy across Canada. Quentin Burgess is the director of industry and member relations at Music Canada, who represents Canada's major record labels. In this role, he works closely with label staff and industry partners and oversees the organization's Gold Platinum Certification Program, which recognizes and celebrates milestone sales of music in Canada. Quentin is the board chair of the Canadian Music Therapy Fund and a member of the fund's advocacy committee. Prajita Saxena is a certified music therapist and the manager for the Music Therapy Center in Toronto, supported by the Canadian Music Therapy Fund. In her journey as a music therapist, she has had the opportunity to work with children and older adults with varying clinical goals, mental health needs, and cultural backgrounds. Her clinical work is rooted in a person-centered approach that involves the use of music to connect and support individuals with their holistic wellness goals. Additionally, her recent research initiatives have been focused on understanding the global music therapy landscape with a special focus on India. In her spare time, we find her traveling, reading fiction, or singing Indian classical music.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're excited to have all of you join us today from the Canadian Music Therapy Fund. I'm going to start my questions with Chrissy. We are happy to have you back with us here on the podcast for another update. And we'd love to hear more about your current work with the fund, the success of the UnGala that was recently at the end of October, and the campaign for supporting child and youth mental health through music therapy.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me back again, Kathy and Adrian. Talking about the current work of the fund, there are so many things going on that I had a hard time sort of thinking in my mind what would be good to focus on. I think what stood out to me the most when I thought about your question was that we have so many small committees now on our board of directors that there's really always something going on, whether it's on our events committee, our marketing committee, our advocacy committee. There's a lot of, what's the expression? Irons in the fire. Is that the expression?
Yeah, that sounds like it.
There's a lot of things going on with all of the committees. And there's also a lot going on in Toronto right now at the Music Therapy Center with new work that's happening and new partnerships that are happening. It's sort of an exciting time leading up to the holidays for all charities. That's a really busy time of the year with reaching out to people and reminding them that it's the season of giving and hoping that folks will choose to make charitable donations at this time of the year. It's always busy, but perhaps the holiday season is one of the busiest times for a charity. So there is a lot going on with the fund. The biggest time of the year is UnGala. As you mentioned, we just had our annual UnGala, and I'd like to take a second to explain the name. I had some questions from folks leading up to the event that weren't clear. So I'm going to say 5 years ago now, when we were talking about having an annual event and just trying to figure out, you know, what would this event be? And the word gala was thrown around because typically charities have, you know, an annual gala event that brings people together to raise money. None of us really liked the term gala. It didn't really resonate with anyone. And we're a very small charity, and putting together a gala costs a lot of money. And so we thought, how can we do a similar thing with a completely different feel and a completely different budget? And UnGala was the solution. So it's our annual gala without the gala feel, without the stuffiness of a gala. So it's turned into quite an event. That we had two events prior to the pandemic, and then it went away for a few years. And last year was our first in-person UnGala again, and this was the second. And it was a lot of fun. I know I saw both you and Adrian at the UnGala having a good time. It really is just a lovely party of music and comedy and good company. Lots of great, you know, snacks and food and lovely drinks at the open bar and an awesome silent auction. A really cool backdrop for photos. It's sort of a reason to have a good time. And I think this year's was a really good time. It was awesome having amazing talent that shows up for us to help us raise money. I also noticed lots of music therapists in the room at the UnGala, which was really, really fun to see the music therapy community coming together and meeting some of the friends and family of our board of directors. It's really just such an awesome night. Our goal was to raise $80,000, and we surpassed it, and we raised $96,000. So I guess you could say UnGala was a big financial success. We owe a lot to our wonderful donors and sponsors and the people that came to the event. It is our big fundraiser of the year. So I'm really pleased to say that UnGala was financially a big success. And as you mentioned, UnGala is only one part of our year. We have an annual campaign. Our annual campaign this year is Music Therapy Moves Us. And every year we set an amount that we're hoping to fundraise, and UnGala is part of that amount. So the amount this year is $150,000. So that $96,000 that I mentioned is part of our way toward that $150,000 goal. We're almost, I think we're two-thirds of the way there. I think we've got about a third of the way to go. And so really hoping this holiday season will bring forth some generous folks who can get us there. Music Therapy Moves Us was chosen as our campaign theme simply because we know that music therapy, you know, air quotes, moves us in lots of different ways, not just physically. And so it was really something that resonated with people who weren't music therapists. And I think that's something that is good to remind everyone who listens to your podcast, that as a charity, we're really trying to reach beyond the music therapy community to spread awareness of music therapy, to help people understand what we do, to bring in new donors who are not from the music therapy community but want to support the work of music therapy and create access. And so a campaign that helps us tell that story is always a nice thing. So Music Therapy Moves Us was the way that we got that campaign going. And the goal was to raise money this year to support children and youth, and especially from underserved communities. And so once a year, music therapists can apply for grant funding. And that was what the intent was for the funding this year, was for the therapists to serve children and youth from underserved communities and to help them with their mental health challenges through music therapy. And I think Hannah can speak a little bit to that after I'm done. I think the last thing I'll say about music therapy moves us is that it really is a special campaign when we can pull together people for a really specific demographic. I think it's been nice to be able to say, this is where the money is going to go. It's going to go specifically to child and youth mental health. And it helps people really come together and feel connected to the money that they're donating.
Yeah, 100%. The Ungala was fantastic. It was my first Ungala. I loved it. It was just well put together, very well organized. I hung out by the silent auction table all night. Didn't seem to scoop anything, but that's okay. And so that was fantastic. And so for people interested in contributing to the campaign, how can they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way to contribute is to go to our website. So that's musictherapyfund.ca. And there's a donate button. If you go to the donate button, it will take you to the Canada Helps page that takes care of all of our donations. And there's an option there to donate to the campaign. The great thing about donating through Canada Helps is you get an instant tax receipt. So everything happens online. You don't have to wait around for something to come in the mail. It's really easy to set it up and make a donation. They can also follow us, CDN Music Therapy, through all of our social media links. There's cues and prompts to donate us as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Now on to Hannah, the money, the grants. Tell us more.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me. This is very exciting. And I'm just so happy to share about the grants that we're able to provide. And each year as a committee, we sit down and kind of assess what's happening, where are the needs, where are the gaps right now, and especially in line with our campaign. And so, in the past, we've been able to support music therapy for frontline healthcare staff. We all experienced what that was like during COVID. Coming out of that and the season that we're in now, there's a lot of need to support children and youth in their mental health. And so this year, we're so excited that we were able to have two grants that we were able to disperse. One was to Alexa Monroe Choquette, who's a music therapist in Kingston, Ontario, but through their Find Your Voice music therapy and through their program, Transformative Voices, they're able to support children and youth in the trans and non-binary communities, helping them build confidence through using their authentic voices. And so this is really exciting work that we really want to support. And it's able to reach, again, like one of our values is access. And so to be able to have access to reach communities and folks online, which is something that this program is able to offer. So that's one of the grants we're able to support. And the other one is in Victoria, British Columbia, and to a music therapist, Supriya Crocker, and in partnership with a independent alternative school, Artemis Place, and they'll be supporting music therapy, supporting young women, trans youth, and young moms, and just supporting them to succeed with their education and also just overall support. So we're here really wanting to provide opportunities for music therapists and partnerships with different organizations to provide free music therapy. That's been really exciting. And so music therapists can apply. Typically our grant season opens up in the spring. They have some time to get their proposals together, submit their applications, we review them, and hopefully in time for their projects to start in the fall. And so they have 1 year to complete it. So that's our national grants. And yes, very excited to support that.
That sounds fantastic. That's wonderful. And in terms of your vision and hopes for more grants and scholarships, can you share with us more about that?
Absolutely. I think I also want to mention that we currently have our George Strombolopoulos Scholarship. It's the deadline for students to apply is November 17th. So that happens every year. It's a $4,000 scholarship. And this year, we have two scholarships available to students in their first year of their music therapy training. Again, as music therapists, we're so passionate about supporting students, interns, and we also know how challenging and difficult it can be. And so, yes, so we're very excited about that. And, you know, as time has gone by, we recognize that we're also quite limited in what our scholarships can support. And so my vision and future excitement, what I hope we can do is a lot of things, but one of them is I really hope that we're able to develop a research scholarship. So anyone listening out there that's really passionate about supporting research and wants to donate, we are open to that. But it would be amazing for us to be able to contribute to research in the field. I know we are doing incredible work out there as music therapists in Canada. So let's find a way to really support that, encourage it, and promote it. So that would be one of my visions there. And the other vision is kind of throwing it way back to CMTF history, where we were able to support pilot projects as an organization. So those are my dreams. And, you know, for all of you listening out there, help our dreams come true.
Thanks so much, Hannah, for sharing all of that and the important work that the fund is doing and supporting. And I may have shared this before on the podcast, but two of my positions were funded by pilot seed funding, right? So it's, for me personally, it's very much close to home, the work of the fund, and it would be amazing to see that as a future opportunity. And we are really excited to have you here with us, Quentin. We'd love to get to know you and hear a bit about your work in Canada's music industry. Like, what does your work entail? And then how did you get introduced to music therapy?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. In my day job, I'm the director of industry and member relations at Music Canada, which is a trade association that represents Canada's major record labels. So in this role, I work closely with the label staff and other industry partners, and I oversee Music Canada's Gold and Platinum certification program, which recognizes and celebrates the accomplishments of artists and their label teams in Canada.
Awesome.
In terms of what brought me to music therapy, I was first introduced to music therapy nearly 15 years ago when I attended a retirement party for Fran Herman. Canada's major labels have been longtime supporters of the Music Therapy Fund, and I was fortunate to be invited to that event through our work and get introduced to the music therapy community early on in my time at Music Canada. I'm sure all your listeners are familiar with Fran's pioneering work and her lasting legacy in Canadian music therapy. And it was in that short introduction where I saw why Fran was such an incredible champion for music therapy and the communities that it supports.
Awesome. Yeah, Fran's legacy certainly lives on. MTABC had a conference recently, and they did a t-shirt with some of the names of music therapy legends, and Fran Herman is right at the top. So BC listeners, I hope you all have your t-shirts, and everyone else, take a look out for that. So Quentin, we're really excited to have you stepping into the role as the board chair for the fund. And I wonder what motivates you to volunteer for the fund?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cliche, and it probably is, but I pursued a career in the music industry because I really do believe that music can change the world. And I think that music therapy is one of the very best examples of that. So seeing the way that certified music therapists use music purposefully to help clients from all backgrounds, whether recovering from a stroke or coping with mental health challenges, is something that I really feel is inspiring. And that's what motivated me to get more involved with the fund.
We really appreciate having you in this role, and just even hearing that, it makes me happy because I've said this to you before in private conversations, but it's so important for us to have people who aren't music therapists, but get it and is supporting us and championing what we do. And actually, you and I have had the chance to work together since I joined the board as a part of the advocacy committee. And I'd love to hear you talk more about what advocacy means for music therapy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'm preaching to the converted here, but there's a lot of scientific research on music therapy, and we know how impactful it can be for clients. But unfortunately, it's not generally covered by provincial health plans or private insurance. And it's my hope that through advocacy, we can change that. You know, how do we do that? The question's almost like asking, how do you eat an elephant? And there's only one way to do that, and that's one bite at a time. So our advocacy committee has been working on developing strategies and connecting with other music therapy advocates, like the Association of Music Therapists, to collaborate on our shared goals and priorities. Right now, there's a bill in Ontario called Bill 121, which is on improving dementia care. And that bill would require the Ministry of Health basically to develop a provincial framework designed to support improved access to dementia care. And one of the things that our advocacy committee is working on is reaching out and making the case for music therapy to be an important part of that framework. So a lot of exciting work going on right now, and really glad to work alongside you, Adrienne, and our colleague, Dr. Meredith Evans, on that work.
Well, we're really grateful to have you and your leadership and your experience and also your passion in this work. And thank you for mentioning that bill. We'll probably be talking about that more on the podcast, but for music therapists across the country who are hearing about this for the first time, keep your eyes on your inboxes, because there's going to be some letter writing campaigns that we'll be asking for some help with, coming from the National Association and provincial as well. Really exciting that this is something that we can all be working together on. We're really happy to have you here with us today, Aprajita. And can you take a few minutes and tell us about what life looks like at the Music Therapy Center in Toronto?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Adrienne and Kathy, on the podcast. I'm so happy to be here and talk about the Music Therapy Center, which I feel so grateful to be at, and I truly feel like it's such a special place. So we are a team of about 11 certified music therapists, and of course our work is spread out across the city, and some of us are even outside of Toronto, but you know, we wanted to continue working through the center, so they might be leading some virtual music therapy work, but that's a little bit about how the team based and the dynamic of our team. I feel like the Music Therapy Center has so much to its merit and has so much to offer, not just from a space point of view, but also the fact that we are striving to provide equitable music therapy services. It is located at a very convenient spot on Bloor and Dufferin. It has wheelchair accessibility. It is fully equipped with instruments, has soundproof rooms. We try and offer affordable sliding scale music therapy sessions. And not just that, I think personally as a music therapist, I feel so nice to be able to go into work where I get to meet other music therapists, doing sessions, and we can have quick peer supervision when in between prep time, and just feel more connection and a sense of community, which is, you know, we know it is so often hard to find outside of conferences and workshops. We don't get a chance to get together, and it can be isolating. So I think that's very unique about the center. And especially on some weekdays when it's busy and we get to meet so many clients and families and music therapists, it's busy and it's lively, and it's nice to see all people from all walks of life. And sometimes just behind the scenes, you know, we get together, music therapists, and we do like lunches on the floor and just do our own group music therapy. So I feel like self-care is actually taken care of simultaneously at work, and which is kind of rare and so grateful to have. So that's a little bit about what life at the Music Therapy Center can look like.
Oh, wow. I really feel like I get a sense of a bird's eye view peeking in through the window. And just, I mean, I've been to the center, so you describe it so well. And it's just such a special place, like you've said. What are your hopes and dreams for the Music Therapy Center?
Yeah, it's such an interesting time for me to be having this conversation because I actually complete 1 year at the center on November 15th. So it's such a great time to pause and reflect on what worked, what might need changes, what are the big dreams for this space. I think the biggest piece is to expand our sliding scale services and accessibility overall. So we currently either offer subsidized sessions, we offer sliding scale rates, or sometimes fully funded music therapy sessions, depending on what our clients need. And of course, to be able to do that, we need to have more music therapists on our team. We need to have more organizations and family foundations that we can reach out to for grants and donations to support the work that our team of music therapists is doing. This year, we have grown our team a little bit, and you know, we have been able to turn around our wait list just by being able to grow the team and have, you know, some generous family foundations supporting our work. But of course, you know, we still have a long way to go because the wait list just keeps growing. And the center has gone through so many tough periods, especially with the pandemic, but has always been, you know, able to bounce back. And I think it's also because of, I mean, apart from the funding that we get, I think it's also our team that has been so incredible to, you know, accommodate changes during the pandemic, just in terms of being financially compensated as well, because they aren't typically working at market rate. But I think they also believe in advocacy and providing equitable services and really supporting that mission. So part of the dream is also that our team can be compensated better for all the hard work that they do, and you know, continue to expand our accessibility. It's so wonderful that, you know, we get all these clients and caregivers who come to the center, and they're always, you know, just so grateful to be able to have this opportunity for, you know, to lean into music for self-expression and connection and well-being, and you know, through our funded music therapy service. And that, you know, that's the dream, really, to just keep growing that opportunity for our community.
And in our last few minutes, Chrissy, we've heard a lot actually today about how music therapists can get involved and how people can donate to the fund. But I wonder if there's anything else you might want to share or leave us with about how individual music therapists from across Canada can get involved with the Canadian Music Therapy Fund.
Yeah, I can absolutely share a few ways that they can do that. And The first way is maybe the easiest, and that is to say hello. So, you know, we have all these social media platforms where we're trying to expand our reach. Perhaps one of the easiest ways music therapists can help is to, as they say, like and share what they see us posting. The more they can spread what we do, hopefully that's a big ripple effect. And it really motivates me and warms my heart when someone responds to a post or comments, and I can see that it's a music therapist making that comment, or someone sends, you know, a message through our DM saying hello or asking a question. Having music therapists say hi is really a wonderful thing that boosts all of our spirits here at the charity and motivates us to keep going. So like and share all of the stuff that you're seeing on social media. Another way that you can help is to subscribe to our newsletter, which again, you can do that through our social media channels, but that's a good way to keep up to date on what's happening and make sure you're not missing out on opportunities like scholarships or grants or events that we might be doing. So I think staying in touch with us and staying connected to us is a really easy way for people to get involved. Donating. Most of us donate to charities that we can relate to in some way. We all have things that touch our lives personally as music therapists. Hopefully this charity resonates as something that you might want to get behind with, whether you become a monthly donor or make a, well, the holiday season's coming. If you want to make a holiday gift, donating to charities is such a great way to get a tax receipt as well. A lot of music therapists are self-employed, and those tax receipts come in real handy at the end of the year and during tax season. So instead of letting the government keep your money, I say donate it, send it our way, and we'll put it to good use. And the last thing that I was going to say for music therapists to consider is to connect with us around their own ideas. So it's always great to hear from people who maybe they have ideas for grants they'd like to see happening. It's great to get that input. This past granting period was children and youth. Our disbursements committee is going to be meeting about what we're going to focus on in 2024. If people have thoughts on where grants should be concentrating on, please let us know. It's always nice to hear ideas for events or fundraisers that people might want to do. We did have a music therapist a year ago who contacted us. They wanted to do a fundraiser for us, and they did like a family barbecue. It was just a lovely personal thing. And they contact us to say, you know, we're doing this thing and I want it to be a fundraiser. Can we do that? Like, of course you can do that. Send us your ideas and we're happy to promote things through our social media channels. So I think, you know, connect to us with your ideas, connect with us just to say hello, share what we're doing with others. Those are all really great ways that you can be part of the work that we're doing.
So many great ideas. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Quentin. Thank you, Hannah and Aprajita, all of you for being with us today and for sharing about the important work of the Canadian Music Therapy Fund.
Thank you for joining us on the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast.
To learn more about resources from the show, please visit beyondthestudio.ca.
Thanks for listening.